the hell is your delay, Captain?
We're waiting, sir.
Waiting for what?
Private Doss.
Who the hell is Private Doss?
I always dreamed about being a doctor, but didn't get much school. I can't stay here while all them go fight for me.
Would you figure this war is just going to fit in with your ideas?
While everybody else is taking life, I'm gonna be saving it. And that's gonna be my way to serve.
This is a personal gift from the United States government designed to bring death to the enemy.
Well, I'm sorry, Sergeant. I can't touch a gun.
You don't kill.
No, sir.
You know, quite a bit of killing does occur in war.
Private Doss does not believe in violence. To save you on the battlefield.
I don't think this is a question of religion. I think this is cowardice.
I'll fall in love with you because you weren't like anyone else. You're saying you could go to prison.
But I don't know how I'm going to live with myself if I don't stay true to what I believe. With the world so set on tearing itself apart, it doesn't seem like such a bad thing to me to want to put a little bit of it back together.
Oh, the most anticipated film of 2016 is finally here, Cody.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Gave me one of the most gruesome films of the year. I appreciate you.
That accent is going to be like Margot Robbie's costume this year.
Y'all really is. I'm going to use that everywhere I go now. Hey, girl, what's your name?
Oh, you remember when the card almost hit him like twice or whatever? That could be you then, whatever. Hey, by the way, girl, what's your name? Hold on. When he kept staring at fucking what's her name all awkward and shit.
Man, I was thinking about Andrew Garfield. He has one of those punchable faces in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
He smiles, man. He just makes it worse. I'm like, ugh.
You didn't like how he kept staring at old girl, you know, Miss Teresa Palmer herself?
No.
Like, the whole time the movie was playing, he's just staring at her. And then when they leave, she's talking, he's just staring. I was just like, okay, he's just creepy as fuck right now. He's just creepy as shit. And he's smiling throughout the whole goddamn film, too. Just, I was like, wow, people think he's going to get nominated for this, huh?
Apparently.
Okay, well, people, Hacksaw Ridge, like I said, Cody called it, and I was kind of agreeing with him on last week's episode that I have a feeling we're going to have different opinions about this film compared to everybody else.
Yep, thought so.
Yeah, and watching it, I can tell you this is a goddamn cartoon pretty much.
The war here, P1, I dare you.
So we're about to be some unpatriotic motherfuckers on this.
Oh boy, here we go. Read these fucking comments.
That is so not true. I support Michael Bay films. He's patriotic. Yeah.
It's the ultimate patriot right there.
That's the ultimate patriot of Hollywood right there. But basically, this movie follows, what is the actual plot of this? I guess the plot of the movie is just Desmond Doss is going up against the evil atheist of the military. Because the evil atheist won't let him join the war without holding a weapon. I mean, I'm going to do a whole plot synopsis in that voice or whatever. So we got here Andrew Garfield playing Mr. Desmond Doss. And he's a up-and-coming actor right here who's playing a young man in this film who wants to fight for his country and join the war. The war against the Battle of Okinawa. World War II, this movie takes place in. The problem with his training, though, once he joins the war, well, I guess before he joins the war, it's like, what, 30, 40 fucking minutes, Cody?
For this love story that... Not needed at all, actually.
Where me and you had a lead, did we walk in the wrong movie?
You completely forget about that second hour because they didn't reference it, really.
No, it doesn't come. You know, Albert, fuck you, dude. Seriously.
What?
I saw a comment by Albert, and I was like, hey, fuck you, dude.
What the fuck he said?
We'll talk about it, but...
Yeah. He would be the only one to pause a fucking review.
Oh, shit. Yeah, he would. He's a fucking troll. That's why. So Andrew Garfield, he meets this girl, a nurse, because he wants to give blood. Played by Teresa Palmer. She plays Dorothy Shutton here. Yeah, I think that's how you pronounce her name. Whatever. Doesn't matter. She's barely in the fucking movie. And, you know, right off the bat, they hit it off the bat. And next you know, he goes visit her. And the second day that he goes to see her, he tells his mom, Pa, I'm going to meet some girl. You know, I think I'm going to ask her to marry me real quick. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. You just meet her yesterday? Does she know about your marriage? Oh, she about to find out. It's like, oh, okay. And next you know it, he asks her out on a date. They go out, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. Next you know it, he proposes to her because he tells her, I'm enlisting in the war as a medic. I want to be a savior for the people there. I want to bring some life to them. And then next you know it, he pretty much proposes to this girl. They're going to get married soon. He joins the war, and he's good at training. I mean, shit, he's beating everybody. Shit, unathletic-looking motherfucker. He just takes on everybody and beats their ass. But when it comes down to holding a weapon, he's just like, I'm not going for that. Nope. My lord don't believe me in picking up a weapon. And I refuse to hold that weapon there, sir. I refuse it. And he's like, you know. So next thing you know, he gets shit on by everybody. And they make, I got to say, probably the biggest deal out of this one guy out of nothing, to be honest. I mean,
yep.
I mean, they got a whole platoon. I don't know how many soldiers fought in America. I know it's a lot, though, because this is one of the great wars.
Of course.
Of our times. And the fact that they were just concerned with this one dude and how they just stopped a lot of trainings to have court and shit like that. I'm just like, give that motherfucker a flag like I used to do with black people back in the day called Operation Human Shield and let him run out in there or whatever. I mean, he's trained to be a medic, okay?
Yeah.
Which they don't show you that at all in this whole training sequence of him joining the war or anything like that, but whatever, just for the plot of the story. So, and then next you know it, they, you know, once he passes court and stuff like that, he goes ahead and enlists in the war, and pretty much the story of how he saved 73 people, I believe, or something like that. It was around 70-something people without wielding a single gun at all, and there you go. Religious antics and not. I'm not going to lie, I don't even know what the fuck this movie's about, to be honest. It's supposed to be a autobiography, pretty much, of this character, but this guy's pretty boring, I gotta say.
Yeah, overall, I would say so.
When you get down to it, it's just like, this ain't interesting enough to make a movie out, if you ask me. Yeah. And it stretched out really long into something because of that first half, like 30, 40 minutes of it. It's that love story, which is just, But then, then you get to the war part, and you're just like, this is just repetitive and gratuitous, if you ask me. Cody, what did you think of Hacksaw Ridge? I didn't like the movie. I'm gonna go ahead and say this. I didn't hate it, but I didn't get the praise that everyone was giving it, because I just thought it was just
whatever. I'm right there with you. Like I said, right before they entered the battle, I was mentioning to you, like, it's the same shit like Sam Pryor Ryan did, but they did it better.
Yeah.
It's basically like that, like Band of Brothers stuff in that ilk. Mm-hmm. It's the same shit, basically. But like I said, I will give Mel Gibson credit for. I thought that it was shot really well. The violence and all that.
Yeah.
I thought it worked. But like you said, it's very repetitive. Mm-hmm. And the pacing is just, it's kind of like nonstop. And I get it's a fucking war film, so you kind of want to have that relentless feel. But I just kind of got tired of it, got kind of fatigued.
You know, the funny thing about it is Michael Bay did a better job with this in 13 hours. Where, like, because that scene where they're defending this thing, it goes on for almost half the movie, which is the present. But at the same time, you kind of feel, I guess because it's less characters in that film, and this is just a whole army and shit like that. And you really, you're supposed to be following Andrew Garfield's character, but the camera's not on him a lot in the film. So, you know, you're following a bunch of other people and looking at just battles and stuff like that, where at least in that one, it was just like a group, probably like seven people, if I'm not mistaken. And so the camera had enough time to point at each character as like what they're going through. This is exhausting. It's tiring. And you don't really feel that for this movie at all. As far as the performances go, I really, everyone's saying a lot of people should have gotten nominated this film. I didn't really think anyone stood out in this film as being like, oh my god, like, this movie may not be all that, but this actor's performance was great. Other than Vince Vaughn's character.
Yes.
He stood out like a motherfucker now.
Oh my god. We can't want to see him. Yes, I do. How long you been dead? I was like, damn.
And he's like, what's your name? And he was just like, I forgot what the guy's name was, whatever, but he was just like, your name is Ghoul. What's your name again? He said, Ghoul. Like, how he asked everyone what their name was, and he just renamed it. Oh, I found it right here. Goran D. Klute, or whatever, how you pronounce his name. They call him Ghoul in the film. Now he just changes up people's names. It's fucking hilarious. Like, I think for him, why it's so good is because we've never seen Vince Vaughn do something like this.
Right.
And you're looking at this and going, why the fuck you didn't do none of this in True Detective Season 2, huh?
I mean, it was that direction.
Man, where the fuck was you at? That guy sucked in that much.
He sucked ass, but
yeah, and he sucked too, and whatever. But
yeah.
Vince Vaughn really, and it's really short too, because after that, he doesn't really have much to do in it. They put more
shot in the leg, and he's kind of staying up there until Andrew Garfield brings his ass down.
Yeah, and Andrew Garfield screams, ah! Not a single bullet hit his ass too. I just like, wow, this is pretty okay. It's kind of crazy right here because everybody else is getting shot up and shit and stuff like that. I love when it grazed his helmet, but yeah, them bullets was going through everybody else's helmet. Yeah,
everybody else's helmet, shit went straight through. They were done.
Yeah, because I remember telling you, I was like, them helmets are fucking worthless.
Yep.
They are fucking worthless. Like, I'm just like, wow, them bullets are going straight. And you can see the inch of the bullet. Now, I'm with Cody on this one. I guess let's go ahead and get into the positives, what we like about this film, because I probably have a little bit more negative, and they're not like negatives where it's like on the level of 50 Shades of Black or nothing. Like,
no, I'm hating this film.
On the negative where it's just like, I don't even see what the point of this
movie
is. Like, maybe this would have probably been better as just like a documentary style or something like that or whatever. Yeah, short, definitely. Yeah, I would have loved it to see this as a short now. But as far as I love, Cody's right. The action scenes looks like Battlefield 1.
Yep, exactly like.
I mean, it is exactly like it's literally like that game and this movie came out around the same fucking time on a fucking. It's funny because when we saw it, Call of Duty came out that same day too. So.
Yep, that's true.
And these action scenes has the storytelling of a fucking Battlefield or Call of Duty game, and you're just looking at this and going like, "Wow, Mel Gibson." It gets to a point after a while, you're just like, "That's a violent motherfucker." Like, I already knew he was crazy after what he did to his I guess his former wife or ex-girlfriend, I don't know what she was or whatever. But after watching it, I was like, man, I'm seeing some Passion of the Christ shit over again. Like, it's like, it's repetitive on the gratuitous parts of, yeah, we get it now, you know? Just get to the story. I think maybe if they would have put, no, wait, I'm going off. Let me get back in the positives. Vince Vaughn.
Yes.
Thought he was great in the film.
But I agree.
For the tidbit that he had in there, I thought he was great. Sam Worthington, look, he wasn't as bland as he normally is.
He did a commendable job.
He did a job. I mean, nothing that really stood out. But as far as what he was doing, I thought it was fine. Yeah. His funny thing is the character who the movie's supposed to be about, I think he was the least I was the most impressed with, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree.
I think everybody else, even Sam Worthington, was there. Vince Vaughn was there.
Your boy from Point Break. Yeah, he's pretty good in the film.
Yeah, he was good. Teresa Palmer, she was fine for whatever she was supposed to be.
I thought Hugo Weaving did a pretty good job. He was cool.
He was good. Yeah, Hugo Weaving. Yeah, you could tell, like, he was just a fucking drunk in here and stuff like that.
Oh,
like,
boy, did he pull that off.
Yeah, Hugo Weaving. Damn, he did a damn good job. I'll give him that. But Andrew Garfield, I didn't really gravitate to him that much. I didn't think I really cared at all, to be honest, about the character. It's funny because the movie's supposed to be about him, but Marley is more about the war, to be honest. More of a war flick. And then, you know, once that's over and done with, clearly, which, by the way, I gotta say, look, I know we didn't have technology back in World War II time and stuff like that, but I know y'all had strategy back then. And watching this war, man, maybe I'm speaking on my ass. I've never been in war before, but it just seemed the things that they were doing in here. It was just like, clearly we wasn't doing things like that now, right?
Yeah, you would think, because they're all bunched up and shit.
Yeah, I'm just like, you just seen this ridge get blown to bits, and you're literally going to climb this thing all at once and stay bunched up together. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know why he just shot it or what.
I mean, maybe he just wanted to get the scope of how many soldiers it was or something like that.
I don't know.
I guess, whatever. It looks like a war. I mean, this movie has the feeling of a war. It looks like a war. I'm trying to think of some other positives I can say. To be honest.
It's a very simplistic movie, so I mean, not a whole lot you say, really.
That's the thing, too. Yeah, for a 2-hour-and-20-minute film, Cody.
It didn't feel that long. I'll give it that.
Yeah, it didn't feel that long at all. But for that length of a film, I didn't really feel any meat in the film, to be honest. Like, I didn't get, like, the heart or the obviously, you know, just the saving of the soldiers part and whatever and stuff, basically doing his goddamn job, to be honest. But, you know, I didn't really feel the emotion towards that because, to be honest, when those parts were supposed to be emotional, I thought they were kind of fucking cartoonish.
Yeah.
Especially when he gets back off the ridge or whatever and all the soldiers that were injured and blown their bits and stuff, like, they're all smiling with their thumbs up at him and stuff. It's like,
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that scene probably didn't go down like that. I'm pretty probably sure these not. People were screaming in pain still or whatever. And like nobody sold their injury whatsoever. No. You got dudes who had half their face bandaged up looking like Doctor Strange and shit. And legs are missing and stuff, but they managed to wake up to look at Private Doss and go, thumbs up to you, good old soldier. And I'm just like, ah. And you know, there's even a moment where he's trying to sell, I guess, like his PTSD amongst. But literally the next fucking scene, he's sitting by himself reading a Bible. And I'm just like,
yeah,
he's looking calm, cool, collective and shit like that. And I'm just like, ah, you got any more positives you can think of, Cody?
I like the score.
Yeah, even though it didn't fit.
It didn't fit, but I thought it was great.
This music was just all over the place in this film. Like this movie, this was like one of those movies. If Doctor Strange was trying to show you a story with his effects, this movie was trying to show you a story with his music, and it just didn't fit the tone of what was going on in this film whatsoever. I'm listening to this music over the dialogue. Like, you listen to the music alone at home without anything else in your headphones, stuff like that. Oh my God, the score sounds so perfect. You listening to it, watching this movie?
Mm-hmm.
It don't fit at all.
Yeah, because, you know, Mel Gibson about over-dramatizing shit.
Oh my God, he over-dramatized. And the part where it gets into the montage of him saving the 70-something, I know it's 70-something people or whatever, when he got to the, which I just find amazing in its own feat. I wish
they
probably would have stayed focused with that, but they kind of speed it up, and they play this fucking music in the background, and it has him doing an over audio version of "Please Lord, tell me get one more." And then we was laughing our ass off, Cody, and I remember whispering to you, I said, "I want him to do that over and over again throughout the whole song of this montage."
Yep, sure enough.
And sure enough, one more. One more, Lord. I was laughing my ass off. I was sitting there like, what the fuck? Oh, shit. something just popped up right now, whatever. I was sitting there just going like, I shouldn't be laughing at this, but goddamn it, this is the funniest shit I've ever seen this year. Here we go. Please, Lord.
Please, Lord.
Help me get one more. And then when that beat kicks in, you start seeing him running really fast, and he's saving people. He's saving people. He's carrying it, and he goes, "Oh, Doss." He's like, "I'm gonna come back for you. I'll come back for you." And then next thing, that beat kicks, this is when it kicks in. One more. One more, Lord. One more. And it shows him straining, using his muscles to pull the rope down. And then when he's done, one more. Then it's rinse and repeat again, Cody. Rinse and repeat, just stopping it over. One more. He's carrying the guy, brings him to the ridge, lowers him down the rope. One more. It's like he's like working at a fucking brother's burger stand or something like that. One more. That shit was just fucking hilarious to me. I was just like, not to mention the beginning of this film, man, I guess whenever you get one of these religious films, besides Rise, that film that Sony did, and the one that won, I think Warner Brothers did, Young Messiah, when he was just young Jesus or whatever, like baby G when he was young or whatever and stuff.
Yeah.
Those two films, the only film I saw this year where I didn't feel like the religion aspect of it was trying to make it seem like atheists or anybody else was the evil people and shit. Mm-hmm. But the way they play this movie and how it reacted and stuff like that, it came off like, I was like, once again, another one of those where it's like, oh, if you don't believe what he believed in, you're the bad guy in this film.
Basically.
And it's just like watching, it's like, okay, Mel, we get it, man. I know people love Mel Gibson as a director. Personally, I think he needs a lot more work to be done. Because you're looking at some of the shit in here, I'm just like, he has the Michael Bay sensibilities where he puts his personal beliefs in films and he goes strong hard with it. And he's just like, you don't know how to make a movie for a general audience, whatever. You make movies for yourself and a certain group of audience members, whatever. You know. And personally, I think that that's just not the way of a filmmaker, if you ask me. And if you are going to do that, then you need to put that in limited release theaters where only the small group of your fan base is going to go see that type of shit.
I agree with that.
As the, more of the negatives here, too, is the Bible, you know, the way it's played in here. Oh, my God. The shit is over the top like a motherfucker. There's a... You, Cody, there's bodies being blown up to bits. And this movie is, like, crazy. It's gruesome as fuck how they show you this shit.
Yes.
This dude is smiling throughout the whole fucking battle. I'm just like...
Just cheesy.
And he's doing that throughout most of the whole film. I think when it stopped is when he started to finally... That exposition part to get to know each other with the other guy. Stuff like that is like, yep. And that's when he stopped smiling after that scene. But before that, man, he is smiling, saving people and stuff. And you're just looking at him like, I don't think anybody would be smiling their ass off like this through all the death and destruction that's going on right here. Like, you should be looking more panicked. I don't think Andrew Garfield really sold this. And more so, I guess you can blame on the director part, because the director probably should have told him, what the fuck are you doing right now? Dude, you're in war. Ain't nothing like, he's acting like this to be proud to be in or something like that. It's like, nah, ain't nothing proud to be about this. Yeah, you fighting battles here and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
You getting bullets thrown your way, missiles being fired at you, whatever. And you sitting here smiling, Cody? What'd you think about that? Funny, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see this after he does the infamous kick on the grenade.
Which, by the way, that was shot bad. I mean, it was edited.
I was like, yeah, this kind of, I thought it was going to be like some big ass triumphant moment. I was like, oh no, it's kind of stored in there.
And the way it was shot, it wasn't even edited right, because okay, the Japanese, they surrender in a way of mass suicide, if you will. Yeah. And you see the grenades being thrown on different angles, yet when he kicked it and swinged it, they were both thrown his way.
Yeah. Coincidentally enough.
Yeah, coincidentally enough. And he swatted one.
Man, he was on top of both of those things. I was thank like, damn,
you.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. You see people fucking getting holes in there. He just got like a scratched, trashed up leg and shit like that.
Yeah.
But even the way he swatted it, that grenade, he swatted it towards his men. So it was just like, yeah. I don't get how people live through that, but all right. And because Bacody, he had to be the savior. That's why.
Yeah.
It was like, I'm almost certain that he possibly did not do that.
Or at least it played out much differently. It had to. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, because this looked kind of fucking silly, to be honest.
Come on now.
And the way it ended, too, even after that, Cody, he gets blown up by a grenade, pretty much. His leg is ended up. And this is towards the end of the movie, people.
Yes.
And the first thing comes to his mind. My Bible.
My Bible.
Where's my Bible?
Dude's in pretty much a shock, just saying my Bible over and over again.
Like, what?
they find the fucking Bible and then get just blown anywhere. Just ain't in one place.
I like how this Spotless. Dude was just willing to go back for the Bible, though. I'm just like, in the middle of war, I don't think anybody would go back for a book. I don't give a damn how sacred it is to you or anything like that. I like how that dude found that Bible too right away.
Yep.
I was just like, wow, it was just there. Yep. Like, I didn't feel for this war, I didn't feel like a middle, beginning, and end. And I know that's not how wars begin, but Mel, you ain't directing a war. You're making a movie here.
Yes.
And the way it wrapped up, where they say, yeah, we took the ridge now of Okinawa, and I'm just like looking at that, I'm just like, how? I didn't really see... I don't get how you got from this point of getting dominated to now you're in control of it now, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there was no, like, build-up to it as far as, of you know, having your falling down to your grace period to your succeeding moment or anything like that. I think Mel Gibson might have been the worst thing of this movie, to be honest. It was his directing
ability. Probably.
Because as far as the actors go, they were either mediocre or just better than the other or something like that, you know? Another negative, obviously, we talked about the music. Music is good, but my God, is it just fucking crowbarred in here every scene you can get?
Yes, it is.
Jesus Christ, Cody. Oh, I remember we were constantly just looking at each other and going like, why is this music being played?
She was overblaring like a motherfucker.
Every time a new set piece happened, new music kicked in, it's just like, yep. Oh, okay, we get it now, bro. Not to mention that fucking ending with the music, too.
But oh, that, God.
Him being on a stretcher, and then you see the clouds and the sun and shit like that.
The camera angle. Camera's moving, boy. And to get that perfect with the lens flare
and then even even the hand hanging over the ridge is like,
yep.
Oh my God, if he gives a thumbs up, I swear to God. Oh, we can't forget his breakout moment, Cody, before the whole, please, Lord, where he was talking. He's talking to the Lord, remember?
Yeah.
Talking to the Lord. What do you want me? There is bodies being thrown around, death and destruction. Everybody's like, get off the ridge. Get off there. Because they're being pushed back. Meanwhile, yeah. Andrew Garfield's just sitting there. Not a missile comes his way. Even though they show you missiles coming his way, but he doesn't get hit. Not a missile touches him. Don't even graze him. Nothing. And he's sitting there on his knees talking about, what do you want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
What should I do? Give me a sign, Lord. Help me. He looks up. Thank you, Lord. It's like, please, Lord, help me. I'm just like, okay, come on now. Come on, man. Mel Gibson, just make cheap-ass religious films. You know that's what you want to do at this point. Like, I'm watching this and going like, it's funny because, you know, one of the complaints you always have about these smaller films where it's like, God's not there or something like that. Put some money into this and actors and stuff like that. Oh, well, Mel Gibson did that, and yet it still feels the same.
Yep.
Exactly. What would you say probably was the worst thing for you, Cody, in the film?
The worst thing in this film for me, I gotta say, probably that first hour.
Yeah.
It was pointless. Actually, it literally had nothing.
Actually, you're right. That was an hour. I'm looking at it right now. That whole loving, that was an hour.
Because they don't play shit in the second hour. The second hour is all out war. That's it. That's what you can watch. Pretty much.
You gotta get to know this character, Cody.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah, but yeah, the character has a wife, but she didn't play into the plot at all.
You gotta care about him wanting to get back to his wife, though, Cody.
Oh, God.
That's what it's about. Oh, and they move way too fast, too, for me.
Oh, my God.
I don't even know how much the time frame it was, but it felt like it was next day because...
Yeah, it was some Romeo and Juliet two-week shit.
Yeah, because... Especially because the first time you see him, he's given blood, and then the next day he's saying, I just met this girl. And it's literally the next day after he just gave blood. And he's just like, okay, is this playing out? Because the date that they have is either the same day or the next day, too.
Right.
So you're just like, okay, this is happening in a matter of a week then. What's going on here? He has a brother, too, that they don't even come back to at all.
It's like, I forgot that.
Yeah, like, because his brother was the first one to join the war. Yeah. And Hugo Weaving's character, he's just like, he was a guy that was in the war. And he was like, I served and stuff like that. And I was like, I don't want to see your grave or whatever. And his brother's not fighting in the war with him. He's not side by side. It's like nothing. It was like, oh, okay, I guess his brother's just there because in real life he had a brother. So, yeah, there we go. Yeah. That whole opening was just sitting there going like, this is just puzzling now. And then when you get to the second hour, which is definitely a better hour than the first hour, the second hour doesn't really have much weight to it either. You're just like, oh, it's just good here.
Does this seem as do you say, people?
Basically, when we just get into the movie in here, it's not impressive at all. I don't think it's like impressive as everyone else has been claiming. Like this is an Oscar award. This is probably going to be that one nominee this year where we just go like, yeah, that shouldn't have been nominated.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have that every year, and apparently this is the one that's it. Because I'm watching this and going like, yeah, man, I could have watched this on the History Channel at home actually.
Yep.
Certain aspects. And then there's even a scene too where, you know, because you gotta care about the characters now, where they're in the trench with his mortal enemy, you know. And he's giving that backstory about how he almost shot his father and how he made his promise to the Lord, how he would never ever pick up another gun. And I'm just like, yeah, you know, these flashbacks this year ain't doing it for me no more. I kind of wish that was in the first half of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, that should have been the story, possibly, because clearly you didn't have a fucking story in the first half to begin with anyway. So maybe that should have been a driving force to, I don't know, his passion towards being the Christian that he is, why he doesn't pick up a gun. Maybe they should have planted that seed furthermore, because I don't even think the story is even in the war here. I mean, that's just number war here. And they really graze over him saving the 70 men over so quickly. He's just like... Wasn't that supposed to be what this movie's about?
Yeah.
But it's just there, and it's just over with once it's done. So it's like, oh, okay. You think because you added, once again, it's like that Logan trailer. You think because you added some dramatic music to it, we're supposed to feel some death in this?
So get the feels.
Yeah, no, I actually don't, because I don't think you handled this character really well here. Cody, anything else to say before we get into final thoughts?
Like I said, this movie's pretty bare bones and simplistic, so I think we said all pretty much everything we could say. So
damn, for a 2-hour and 20-minute movie, how the fuck can this be bare bones?
It's straightforward.
Man, I don't get that shit.
Like, to the war, saves people. That's
Like, sir, man, I don't get it. It's like usually a movie like this, that long, I can't, like, you're right, the pacing goes by quickly, but yet I don't feel like I got anything out of this shit.
You don't. You don't. You just see some glorified violence.
That's a violent motherfucker. Final thoughts then, Cody.
Final thoughts.
One more.
Yeah, one more.
One more thought. Oh my God, I forgot to play the clip too. Our favorite clip here.
Can you just pick up the stupid gun and wave it around? You don't have to use it, just meet them halfway.
It's like, damn, you can't even meet them halfway. Like,
you know, that's all you had to do.
Pick the fucking gun up, dude.
That's all you had to shoot, nothing.
Like, cause this whole thing was just like, I don't want to take life, I want to save life. Well, okay, just get an empty gun in and fucking wave it around and whatever. Yeah, damn.
Play the fucking part. That's all you gotta do.
Damn, yeah. Like, then that way you can pass getting into the fucking war. Yeah. You just lose the goddamn gun. There you go. Shit.
Can't do that.
Yes, you can. It's just pride. Pride and stubbornness. Don't confuse your will with the Lord's.
Okay, that's when I rolled my eyes. See, I can't remember half of the people, but there's a lot of dialogue exchanges that are like that, where the Lord is brought up in small little detail. Where it comes to like a man's ego or something like that, he's just like, okay, come on now, don't confuse your pride with the Lord.
God damn it!
Seriously,
seriously. God damn it!
Oh no, I don't even think the dialogue is written that well, neither personally in the beginning half.
There's no special dialogue bits here.
No.
Except Vince Vaughn and that.
No, oh, yeah, Vince Vaughn's got the best in here. Yeah.
Maybe I'm prideful. I don't know how I'm gonna live with myself if I don't stay true to what I believe.
Just whispering the entire sequence. Like, nuts here, goddamn. Hear you.
Yeah. Maybe it is my pride, but I don't know how I'm gonna live myself if I don't stay true to myself for what I believe in.
Much less how you could live with me.
What? I love how he tries to turn this subject around, though. Like, I won't pick up a gun because I don't see how you could live with me if I betrayed who I was. It's like, okay. Brother, she didn't even know this about you till this happened. Like, see, these are moments that are called character death. But you don't get that because you don't spend no time with these two as far as other than googly-eyeing each other and just saying, I love you. No, I love you. It's like, okay.
Teresa Palmer. I'll never be the man that I want to be in your eyes.
Oh, my God. This is some Sammy shit right here.
That's right.
Because you weren't like anyone else.
Because you actually had the balls to ask me out. Like nobody else did. Yeah.
And you didn't try to be.
You made me climb a mountain for a kiss. I love it. By the way, they climbed that. Okay, never mind.
Oh, yeah.
Do not think for one moment that you'll disappoint me. I will love you no matter what.
Not to mention, they just got married just so they could have sex, too, by the way.
Yeah. You know, his ass wait for that.
I know for a fact, by the way, too, because as soon as that marriage happened or whatever and stuff like that, they got the fucking right away. It's that scene in the trailer where she tell your client, it's like, wow, y'all didn't waste no time. See, I'm telling you, that's what marriage, these religious shit when it comes to marriage, that's what it's all about.
Of course.
Let's stop bullshitting each other.
Got holy in all those goddamn years.
Yeah, it's just like, because let's just be real. If you were with a chick and you were both religious as hell, and you said, we're not going to have sex till we get married. If you were with a chick and you got married after all these years, the first thing that comes to your mind is, I want to have sex with her? Come on now.
Yeah.
That knows. That just goes to show you right there. Yeah, that marriage is bullshit. Right, you don't waste no time grazing in that shit. But I'm sorry. Go ahead and give your final thoughts.
Final thoughts. Like I said, it's a very simplistic movie. So, I mean, like I said, Mel Gibson, he does a good job with the violence in this film and some of the action sequences, but like I said, it's very repetitive. Very repetitive. The thing about Saving Private Ryan is more of a, I wouldn't say globetrotting, but it's more locales.
Yeah.
You get more of a sense of scope. Here, it's just Hacksaw Ridge. It's like one specific area.
Even Fury, that just came out too.
Yeah.
Fury does a better job than this as well.
Yeah. So it's like, you gotta be real creative when you make a movie like that. It just takes place in like one area. And otherwise, it gets, like you said, like we said, repetitive. And that's my biggest problem with this movie, just fucking repetitive.
It's funny because it's repetitive for that whole hour. It's just that same it's the same sequence over and over. I remember even to a part where it was done, where Andrew Garfield got and they said they had to go back, and they were standing on that ridge when he's praying. I was just like, oh my God, we have to do this again?
Yeah. I know some people might say, oh, Cody, it's a fucking war film. What do you expect? But yeah, but there's different ways to do about it. You know, like every scene in here felt the same. Look, all the war stuff, it felt exactly the same, like watching the same goddamn scene over and over again. Only when it felt different when they played that goddamn montage of the fucking music.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that felt, like, different from a different point of view. But,
and, you know, people could say that to you, Cody, but you could be like, you know how many war movies come out a year and how many of them look different from one another?
Yeah.
Like, this one, it literally looks generic and as simple as that. Like, if you, what's that boy, Longest Survivor looks different. Fury looks different, whatever, you know, they're in locations. I know there's another one I'm blanking on as well, too, but they all look different compared to this one, where even, you know, it is war, it can get repetitive here, but this one, wow, it really had no change up in Mel Gibson's directional style of how he would shoot it differently.
Yeah, and the main character, Andrew Garfield, he's not really all that entertaining, so you can't really hinge on him. Side character, just side character, it's just there. So it's like, huh? What do I hang my hat on here? There's nothing really. So I mean, it's not a bad film. Everybody in here gets a good performance, I thought. But yeah, I don't think there's anything you need to rush out to go see. I think it's fine to watch this at home. So yeah, just give it a stream.
I wonder if it'd feel longer at home.
It might.
And plus it does help that, because we were laughing too, by the way.
Well, yeah.
Of course. I don't think anybody else would be laughing at that.
You know, our assets are here.
Yeah. Shit, our assets. Mel Gibson. So he made this shit.
It's a pride.
Yeah, he made this shit. I don't know how I'm going to live myself if I don't stay true to you, Cubby. he made this shit kind of cartoonish. Yeah, man, it's one of those movies where I didn't hate it. I just thought it was whatever. You know, I didn't find anything special about it or anything like that. Like, I just brought up Lone Survivor and Fury, both nominated films there or whatever, where you just like, yeah, I see why these were, you know, in the caliber of what they were, because they're shot well, they're damn well directed, and, you know, you care about the characters you're with there and stuff like that. I don't think I cared about anyone in here. I know that they try to give you everyone's name, and then when they go through people that didn't make it, the names and stuff like that, I'm just like, who is that? You know?
Who the fuck was that?
Yeah, who is that? Like, I'm not okay. How was he important to this? You know, I think this movie personally is just paying off, you know, playing off human sympathy or whatever.
That's exactly what it is.
It is playing off human sympathy. It's like, oh well, you don't need to know who he died. You know that this
is really, a real person. So,
yeah, this really happens.
Fucking, yeah, it's a movie though. So
thank you. Yes, we get that you want to do, you know, real life stuff, but you gotta remember it's a movie, and you're supposed to keep me engaged with development and story and a sense of entertainment here. And stuff right. like that. And if I wanted to see this again, I could read a fucking history book then or something, or look it up my damn self. I don't need to watch this movie then. And you know, watching it here, you know, obviously playing off the human sympathy of saying, well, it's a real human being in real life, and he died, so you and he fought for your freedom, so you should fucking feel some sympathy for that. And it's just like, I do, but not in this movie. So the acting is fine. I mean, nothing really stands out here other than Vince Vaughn's character, Hugo Weaving. I'd probably give him second billing of doing the next best job to Vince Vaughn here. Other than that, I don't even remember the other people's name that was in this fucking film. It really does feel like two different Milo Gibson was in this.
Oh, it wasn't him.
I did not know that. Whatever, he's got like fourth billing in here or whatever. Oh. Okay, he's the people, if you know who that is, I think it's like the one of Mel Gibson's like fifth or sixth child or something like that, whatever. Who the fuck was he in this film? He plays Lucky Ford. I don't even know who that was. See, people like, I'm saying,
I don't remember that motherfucker.
He casted family members in here, and I don't even know who their characters were in this film. But
You know, I'm watching this. It feels like two completely different movies, too, when watching it. Because Teresa Palmer's character, she never comes back up after that clip I showed you, other than the court serum here. Hugo Weaving, his character even vanishes and stuff like that. I think there's a lot of elements that you could have added to this movie if you were going to throw those characters in. If not, then you should have just opened up with, you know, him right off the bat, kind of like Captain America, signing up for the war, you know.
Yep.
And going that route and just getting right into the war and going in and making an hour and a half film. I wasn't bored, obviously, because I'm sitting with Cody. I'm laughing my ass off. We drinking and I'm eating wings and shit like that. So, you know. But I would say that possibly this would be better at home, be watched for viewers. For me, I probably won't be watching this again, to be honest. I don't need to watch this again, unless I want to get a good laugh at it. But then I don't want people looking at me, you insensitive, fuck you. Yeah, I mean, if you want to say something, I think it's the best comedy of the year. You know?
Damn.
I know that's, I don't know if this was going for, but you know, it's, yeah.
I guess I'm shit.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck. This movie's silly as shit, dude. I'm talking silly on a level you just can't help but laugh or whatever. Come on now. But I'm right there with Cody. I just gotta give this a stream, and I don't think anything special about this. I do believe it's gonna get nominated. I personally think that it's one of those where we're going to go, yep, this one shouldn't have been nominated.
Yep.
And personally, I don't think Mel Gibson should get Best Director for this at all.
No.
I think his direction on this was just bland and boring. I don't really think he had really an artistic style to it or doing anything with this moment of war, you know, in Okinawa, because you rarely see war films about that setting and stuff like that. And I don't really think he did anything creative with that ridge. So just a stream for me too as well. I'm with Cody on this one. So stream that shit.
Stream it.
And make sure, Cody, to give me one more.
One more stream. That's all I need.
One more, please. One more.
One more.
One more.
One more.
Please, Lord, just one more.
Private Doss, you are free to run into the hellfire of battle without a single weapon to protect yourself.
Get one more.